You're listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music plus more. You enjoy.
Conversation sparking where the worlds collide, from AI tools to chords that slide. It's the G-Ray groove, feel the vibe ignite. Jazz fusion dreams with a gospel light. R&B soul and tech so bright. Hip hop tech's magic takes its flight. Recording artists share their highs and lows, stories of the stage where the passion flows. Southern roots meet the future's glow on G-Ray Show.
So what does it actually take, you know, to be a truly authentic artist today, especially with all the noise, the constant trends?
Yeah.
How do you cut through?
Yeah. How do you just be an artist? That's a huge question.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into the world of Givian. You know him? That incredible, deep, emotive baritone voice.
Mm-hmm. That blend of neo-soul, bit of jazz, modern R&B. It's unique.
Exactly. So we're going to unpack his whole journey, right? From Long Beach to, well, global stardom. We'll explore his creative process, which is fascinating.
And we'll definitely dive into his latest album, Beloved, talk about that track 20s as well.
Our mission here, really, is to pull out those surprising facts, the insights that show you what really makes him tick as an artist.
Yeah, how things like patience, staying true to himself, that deep emotional connection, how that's all defined his path. He's such a distinctive voice right now.
Okay, let's get into it. Givian, born Givian Desmond Evans, grew up in Long Beach, California, single-parent household, two brothers.
And his mother was just pivotal, wasn't she? Not just like keeping them safe from gang culture, but really sparking that initial love for music.
Totally. And it sounds like it was almost subconscious learning, the way he connected music to her moods.
Right. You had the West Coast, G-Funk, Warren G, Snoop for family stuff, fun times.
Okay.
But then for Sunday cleaning, as he put it, it was soul, Mary J. Blige, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass.
Wow.
So he was kind of learning music through feeling, through emotion, maybe even before focusing on the sound itself.
And his mom was a looper.
Mm.
Played songs over and over.
Yeah, he mentioned that. You got to think that repetition had an impact, embedding those melodies, those feelings.
So music starts bubbling up at birthday parties, but the real turning point seems to be age 18, joining that Grammy Museum music education program.
Uh-huh. And this is where it gets really interesting, like you said, discovering Frank Sinatra, Barry White.
Yeah. Those voices, you can hear how that must have clicked with his own developing baritone.
Yeah.
Massive influence.
Absolutely. Such a defining moment. But even with all that, he wasn't initially aiming to be a singer.
Right, he started out wanting to be a storyteller, writing actual short stories.
Yeah, exactly. But he wanted feedback faster. Apparently, his brothers weren't big readers, so he started condensing the stories into songs.
Huh, practical.
It really shows that core thing for him was communication, expressing emotion.
Mm.
Songwriting was just the most direct way he found.
And he could sing, but he kind of resisted it.
Yeah, he mentioned getting too much attention, feeling like he was on the clock at family birthdays to sing happy birthday.
Oh man, imagine that pressure as a kid.
Right, and then that confusion later after middle school when his voice dropped and got what he called muddy.
Yeah, he thought he couldn't sing anymore.
But he kept doing it, just quietly singing to himself. That shows some real, like, internal drive, even when he doubted himself.
It's quite remarkable.
And I think his mom's influence, those life lessons, maybe had a kind of Mr. Miyagi effect, you know? Those simple sayings, like, if you succeed, that's on you. If you fail, that's on you. Instilling that sense of accountability.
Ah, okay, taking responsibility.
Yeah, and encouraging risk-taking. It feels like that laid the groundwork for his resilience later on. It keeps coming up, this theme of personal responsibility for his own journey.
And that journey, it definitely wasn't a straight line to stardom. Before the music really took off, he worked for 5 years at Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Yeah, downtown Long Beach. Started as a host, then a server.
5 years is a long time.
And he said he hated it. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What kind of mindset keeps you going, doing a job you hate while chasing this huge dream?
Seriously. But what's even more fascinating, maybe, is what he did after quitting Bubba Gump.
Oh, the dog walking business. Right.
Yeah. Printing flyers, taping them to poles, like a proper entrepreneur.
Walked a husky named Snoop, apparently. Listened to music, interviews while walking dogs in Long Beach. Earned money, got steps in.
For about a year, before things really broke open for him.
And think about this. Even now, with 8 Grammy nominations, sold-out tours. He says he only really feels successful when someone has a genuine emotional reaction to his music.
Not the awards, not the fame.
No, it's that connection. That's still his benchmark.
That says a lot. So the big break comes when Seven Thomas, the Canadian producer, finds him on SoundCloud.
Right, which leads to this dual signing Not So Fast and Epic Records. Kind of a smart move, balancing artistic integrity with that mainstream push.
And then things start moving. Opening for Snow Allegra in 2019.
Doing these raw freestyles that caught Drake's ear that led to Chicago Freestyle, their first track together.
Then comes this incredibly bold move, releasing his EP, Take Time.
The day the pandemic lockdown started in 2020. Talk about timing.
Insane timing. How did that even work? How did it become a global thing?
Well, heartbreak anniversary.
Yeah.
That track just exploded. Went quintuple platinum.
Wow.
Became huge on TikTok, streaming everywhere. It connected globally, even with people who didn't speak English. Just through the melody, the raw feeling.
That raw emotion cutting through again.
Exactly. And that paved the way for the big collabs, Justin Bieber's Peaches.
Which got him 4 Grammy nominations, hit number 1 on Billboard Hot 100. Massive.
And another one with Drake, In the Bible, also top 10, just boom.
An incredible run. Which brings us to now, or, well, 2025, and his sophomore album, Beloved, debuted at number 8 on the Billboard 200.
And he calls this one the album he always wanted to make. Said he didn't quite have the skills before.
Interesting. He described himself as a movie artist, not a trailer artist. What do you think he means by that?
I think it speaks to wanting to create a full immersive experience, not just catchy moments. And on Beloved, you really hear that growth. He's less like the lead actor dominating everything.
Which his voice could easily do.
Oh, absolutely. But now he's more like the director. His voice still leads, of course, but he lets the music, the arrangements, the space around the voice carry equal weight.
Creating a bigger picture.
Yeah, it's more collaborative sounding, richer. The instruments feel like they're responding to him. He mentioned studying classic soul producers like Gamble and Huff, artists like Teddy Pendergrass.
Learning from the greats.
And learning to prioritize that raw, honest emotion, even the cracks in his vocals over hitting every note perfectly. His vocal producer, Kural ID, helped guide that.
So shifting from just sounding good to sounding honest and believable.
Exactly. It's a huge shift.
Especially for someone who calls himself a recovering perfectionist. How does that work in the studio then? How do you navigate that?
Well, he talks about focusing now on progress over perfection, embracing patience. He actually said, slow turns out better.
Patience again. That theme.
It really is. It's tied to that authenticity we keep mentioning. And part of that is how he approaches emotions. He calls it his emotional wardrobe.
Emotional wardrobe. Tell me more.
He sees all emotions, even frustration, anxiety, sadness, as things he can access, like clothes he can put on and use for his songwriting eventually.
That's a really interesting way to think about it. So let's unpack 20s, the track From Beloved.
Okay. Soulful R&B track, right? Reflecting on young love, the aftermath, lessons learned.
Themes of wasted time, naivete, heartbreak, all that messy stuff from your 20s.
And that self-discovery versus getting tangled up in romance thing. He liked the double meaning too, 20s as an age, but also maybe money spent.
Ah, clever. So when he's singing about wasted time, is he consciously pulling from that, say, frustration garment in his wardrobe?
That seems to be the idea, channeling it directly. And what's powerful is how it's so personal, so autobiographical, even flawed.
But somehow still relatable to everyone?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He wants to create that comfort, that feeling of not being alone in your emotions, especially, you know, countering that perfect life image you see everywhere on social media.
That peaks only view.
Right. And making Beloved wasn't smooth sailing emotionally either. He started it while in a relationship, released it when he was single.
Oh, wow.
And he admits the album reveals his own part, his own accountability in relationships ending.
Yeah.
He even anticipates how exes might react over time. That takes guts, that level of honesty.
You feel that honesty live, too. He says performing live is his absolute favorite part.
Yeah, the only place he's not a perfectionist, he can just be in the moment, calls tour a celebration.
That's nice.
And his band loves playing the new Beloved stuff. Says it lets them elevate everything, the new and the old songs, lets them scratch an itch playing real music.
A real musical connection on stage.
Definitely. And get this, he watches fan vlogs of their day leading up to his shows.
Seriously?
Yeah. Sees them getting ready, traveling. Says it makes him want to perform even harder, knowing their whole Giveon experience started way before the concert.
That's amazing dedication to the audience.
It really is. That level of connection is pretty rare.
So when you zoom out, his whole rise, it really feels like a story about authenticity, doesn't it? And patience and just raw talent.
Absolutely. And he's thinking legacy too. Explicitly says he wants to be sampled in the future, wants to make raw, quality, timeless music.
Inspired by people like Usher, who he sees as embodying quality and consistency.
Right. It's about building something that lasts. There's also that funny irony about his name, JVM. Sounds like a star name, right?
Totally.
But he sometimes wishes he had a stage name because he values his privacy so much, thinks privacy is the way to go for public relationships.
That makes sense. But it must be tricky balancing that desire for privacy with being a global star today.
It's definitely a balancing act, isn't it? He seems very careful, very intentional about what he shares, which again ties back to that authenticity. Controlling his own narrative.
So what does all this mean for us, for the listener? What's the takeaway?
Well, he hopes his music, especially coming from what he calls a super masculine upbringing, creates a kind of safe space for guys to be emotional.
Pushing back against that pressure to always be tough or angry.
Exactly. Offering vulnerability. Using art to express those feelings. Society sometimes tells men to bottle up. It feels really needed.
Giveon's journey, it's just such a powerful reminder, isn't it? That through looking inward, being resilient, sticking to your unique voice, you can create something that truly connects, something that lasts.
Yeah. It makes you think in this world that's always pushing for speed, for everything to look perfect, what truths could you find if you just gave yourself the time, the grace to feel your own stuff, you know, the flaws, the ups and downs.
What would your version of Beloved sound like? Something to think about.
Oh, the airwaves hum, the rhythm's tight. G-rays spinning wisdom in the glow of night. Conversations sparking where the worlds collide. From AI tools to chords that slide. It's a G-ray groove. Dreams with a gospel light. R&B soul and tech so bright. Even hard times magic takes its flight.
ocean flows. Southern roots meet the future's glow on G-Ray Show. The world we know is the G-Ray Group. Digital pulse, but there's something more. It's the heart of music, the art of sound. On G-Ray's mic, the world spins round. It's the G-Ray groove. Feel the vibe ignite. Jazz fusion dreams with a gospel light. R&B, soul, and tech so bright. The podcast magic takes its flight.
Hi, this is Inara. Big thanks for listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. Oh, by the way, be sure to check out the G-Ray Records podcast, A Paradigm Shift into the Renowned Future. You enjoy.